We want to honor the Lord, isn't that right? I don't come up here with some prearranged program. And I don't go into my room and study to try to figure out what I can say to you. I try to come here with an open heart to try to tell you about Jesus. Come here to try to show you the right way. And I come here with an open heart to try to let God speak through me to you. God loves you. God wants to help you. God wants to help you and your little family. Let me say this, folks. I can pick up something here now. You're not going to stop those children. That's good that you're trying. It's good that you're confiding in the thought that you can handle the situation, but you can't. I tell you in the name of the Lord that you can't. And if you do, then come back and say, Brother Pike, you lied. I did. You're not going to do it. You're in for trouble. You're in for problems. Let me tell the children this. Just because the parents can't handle you and because they're in for problems, it don't mean you're going to get by because you don't want to hear the word of the Lord. And you don't want to hear what God said. The Bible said the wicked don't want to hear what God's got to say. And they don't like to retain not the knowledge of truth within their hearts. And the Bible said because they did not want to do that, then God gave them up to reprobate mind, to believe a lie, to be damned. He sent them strong delusions and caused them to believe a lie that they might be damned. As it was said down in Egypt, he hardened the heart of Pharaoh. See, and he's going to destroy this generation that's coming up now. This is that sinful, adulterous generation. This is it. And he promised to burn them with fire. And he hates their image. They party all night. They've got to be out, girls and boys, throwing themselves to the garbage. You know, it's sad. God has given the girl a vessel as to honor, that she might be a great, marvelous thing in the sight of God, her price being far beyond that of rubies. But instead of possessing her vessel in honor, she dishonors and she becomes like an old garbage can or an old dog, some old something that's not fit to kill. Remember, whatever you have, it's yours. Your life, your virtues, your values of life, they all belong to you. God gave them to you. Same way with the young man. And you can desecrate, you can throw them to the devils and demons, and you can give your life to the garbage man, and you can do whatever you want to do. That's up to you. But you're going to pay for every transgression, every wrong you do, every word that you speak, and I'm going to be your judge. I'm going to be your judge. The same fellow that you didn't want to listen at, the same word of God that you didn't want to hear, I'm going to be your judge. I'm going to be there. Paul said, and God's going to He's going to judge the secrets of men's heart by this gospel that I'm preaching. I'm going to be there. All of these things that you're doing contrary to mother and daddy, all of these ideas, you know, some of you would be real fine children if it was not for the evil communications. Evil communication corrupt good manners, which means there are some children that's got good understanding. They've been raised right. But see, Satan doesn't rest till he brings all of the evil around. You may have a good daughter, you may have a good son, but Satan is going to bring the devils around and they're going to corrupt the minds because their minds are dirty and filthy and their thoughts are continually evil. And they're going to corrupt them and they're going to lead them astray. Satan does that because he doesn't want virtue in the earth. Where there's virtue in the earth, God has control. Where there is no virtue, Satan has control. And he wants supremacy. So he's trying to corrupt every man and woman, every boy and girl, so that he can have complete control within their minds. You might say, well, if God's driven out, Brother Pike, wouldn't the world come to an end? Yes. Yes, but on the other hand, if Satan can corrupt and keep the children of God in bondage, the world will continue on. Because as the angel said to Lot, get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, because I can't do nothing until you get out of here. And Lucifer knows that nothing can be done until we get out of here. We're the salt of the earth. So, we as preachers, we are preaching so that you will preserve virtues and you will preserve the values of life. and you will handle your vessel in honor and not in dishonor. That you will be esteemed of God as something precious and not as something that's rotten and evil. He charged Israel with something that was rotten and evil. And he said, this is a practice with you. And he rejected them and put them away with a writing of divorcement. And said, I'll go get me a bride out of the Gentiles. You say, how could he do that, Brother Pike, when Israel followed after him? He said, my hand has been stretched out to Israel all the day long, and they've not heeded. He said, but I'll provoke you to jealousy with a people that's no people. Meaning that the Gentiles didn't seek after God. But he would go get him a bride out of the Gentiles, somebody that would seek after him and love him, that would become one with him. So then you're not going to be able to handle those children. Back to the major theme of our thought, not to make it a long, drawn-out thing. You're not going to be able to handle them except you get Jesus. And with Jesus, the only way you can handle them then is through prayer, through fasting, through submission, through love, and what correction that you can give as to the extent of the correction, as to the age of the child, as to the rebellion, as to whatever. Because you're not dealing with your child. You're dealing with the devil. And man is made a little lower than the fallen angels, and fallen angels are devils. So you're dealing with a fallen angel. And when it gets into the child, it's like the Bible said, the spirit of foolishness is bound into the heart of a child. But a rod of correction will drive it far from him. As the child grows, so grows the spirit. And then when it gets big, you can't handle it. So you have to have Jesus. Sad, but it's true. Chapter 5, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. This is in 2 Chronicles. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chiefs of the fathers of the children of Israel unto Jerusalem, to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast which was in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. And they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, these did the priests and the Levites bring up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the house unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves of the ark, that the ends of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there it is unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psaltery and harp, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpet and cymbal and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Then said Solomon, the Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, but I have built a house of habitation for thee and a place for thy dwelling forever. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there, neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there. And I've chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for my name. The Lord therefore hath performed his word that he hath spoken, for I am risen up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And in it have I put the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord that he made with the children of Israel. Now, I want you to notice something. Chapter 5, 2 Chronicles. The word chronicles, of course, means the records of the kings, that which is set in a chronological order for reference. It says here that all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. It took many years. The vessels was dedicated. The elders came, and they brought the Ark of the Covenant out of the city of David, which is Zion. I've been there and seen Zion. David is buried there. They have his tomb. Brought all the men of Israel. They assembled themselves in the seventh month. Remember now, the tenth day of the seventh month. That is the Day of Atonement. So, it is here at this time that the ark is brought. The pilgrimage is over as pertaining to the wilderness. And then all of a sudden, a house is built for the name of the Lord. David has fought. There has been many things that have taken place. Saul has fallen. David has completed his ministry, his kingship. Solomon is now in power. The following up of this great ministry of Solomon will be going down into Babylon, which will bring in the lost tribes in Assyria, Daniel down in Babylon, the 70 years of captivity, and then the days of Nehemiah and the restoration of the walls and the 500 years of silence between that time of Daniel and the coming Messiah. And then, of course, Jesus. And you know from there on. So, this is the end of the regime of those great men. Beginning with Adam, on down to Enoch, down to Noah, down to Abraham, and on down to Isaac, and on down to Jacob, and on down to Joseph, and on down to Moses. Coming all the way down through Elijah, right on down through Isaiah's time. Here we find that for about 400 years or more, there were judges. And then there was the great Samuel after the Joshua took the people on into Canaan and Moses had left the scene. We find that the Ark of the Covenant came into view. A lot of problems during that time, and then they cried for a king after Samuel the seer. And Samuel judged them as the last judge, and then came the king. And then Saul and David and Solomon. And now we're here with Solomon, and then the going down into Babylon. I wish we had time to really teach on these things, you know, and really go into the details of them as to tell what these things are and bring you an understanding of these wonderful things of God, even as to what the kingship means as to the three kings. But knowing that that is utterly impossible because of the restlessness of the people and the lack of thirst and hunger of the people, we just kind of pick up a few little things to get to your mind and try to detail as much as we can in that it goes out over the radio. And we'll try to furnish you the best that we can with the few scattered remarks that we have to make in such a hurry because of the people's minds and the weather program and the lack of interest in spiritual things. So here we're speaking of the seventh month, which obviously is bringing in the atonement, and the house is now built, and this is going to be the first time that they've ever had this great act of atonement after this fashion. So this is the seventh month, and they say the tenth day of the seventh month. See, and all the vessels are there. Now I want you to listen to that real good. What does this mean? See, somebody would say, Brother Pike, what do you want to tell us about Solomon for? What are you talking about? Solomon building the house of God and these kind of things. What are you doing that for? Because there is a great meaning here. There's a great significance. Something great and mighty is taking place. See, and we who are not spiritual, we don't understand. We read the Bible, we don't understand. See, we that are not spiritual, we cannot lead ourselves. We cannot guide ourselves. But if we pray to God, God will give us the spirit of revelation. And until we come to the spirit of revelation, the first thing that we should do is to settle down and listen to the minister. If he hath God's spirit, he will be able to tell us and make us to understand. And in this, we'll be able to get a lesson. As we come to church, we'll get a lesson that will cause us to walk in the ways of God and bring us this health, blessing, and prosperity that God wants you and I to have. So then here's Solomon. At last the temple is built. Like we wrote in the song, Chief Cornerstone, at last the great temple was finished. And then they sought for the cornerstone. Here is the temple, it is finished. At last the cornerstone has been placed. All of a sudden, this becomes the house of God. What is the temple of Solomon? Remember now, all of the things of the Old Testament are typical. And they were written, they were put into order. God went to great length. He took hundreds and thousands of years to grow to great length. And this is to give us the understanding of the Spirit. This is why that you are in trouble when you come to the house of God and you don't conduct yourself right. This is why the wrath of God will be upon you and you will shorten your days by your disobedience. It's because God, it took him thousands of years to do these natural things that Solomon and David and Samuel and the different ones did. It took God thousands of years to do these things, and he patiently waited and put up with the mannerism of man and suffered all these things. He had to do these things just so that I could spiritually interpret and spiritually understand and spiritually teach an audience and spiritually comprehend God. It took all of those thousands of years. So then here is the Temple of Solomon. The Temple of Solomon is last finished. It's built. Finally it's built. This great, wonderful temple is built. And now is the time of the priests coming into this temple. At this time comes the Ark of the Covenant. What a great moment. What an exciting time. Now the Ark of the Covenant is coming in at last. This covenant that has never at any time had a dwelling place. Always it was in tents. It wandered through the wilderness. But then at last, here it comes, it's found a dwelling place. God has at last built a dwelling place. Though David tried after the regime of Saul so hard to build a place, but David warred and David fought, and it took all of David's time fighting his enemy. They would divert his attention away from building the temple. And David had so much blood on his hand by the time he finished fighting his enemy that he couldn't do it. Why did God say unto David that you cannot build the house of God because of the blood that's on your hand? Why did God say that? Because David was typical of the Lord Jesus. The vesture dipped in blood. He was made sin. Jesus was made sin. So then God allowed Christ to build it. He did not allow Jesus to build it. Though Jesus was here in this world, though Jesus preached, yet the Christ is the one today that's building the temple of God. For as it is written, I will return in the last days of the latter times, saith God, and I will build up the fallen down house of David. He refers to it as the house of David, not the house of Solomon. Why does he do that? Because it is the Lord Jesus Christ that is responsible for our salvation and for this great, wonderful temple of lively stones. Because it was through the administration of David that he gathered all of this gold and all of this silver. He gathered all of these things and he brought them together. So it is referred to as his properties, as his wealth. And he built the house of God. Solomon being the very life of David put forth and was still David in action. And so then the house of David was built. And I will return in the last day, saith God, and I will build up the fallen down house of David. Over there, when they had their council at Pentecost, they got together, and these ministers began to talk, just like you and I get together and talk, just like we're talking today. Great enthusiasm and great interest came forth as they listened one to another, and they testified of the great miraculous that God had done by their hand. And finally, one of them stepped up in the congregation and before the brethren and said, "Listen, brethren, let me say something." And they said, "Say on." So he spoke, he said, "This thing that we are looking at," this man was spiritual, he obviously was spiritual, because as he talked, that was a revelated thing that come forth for them that can catch it. He said, "And this agrees with what the prophet said." He said, "Listen, brethren, remember what the prophet said? I read in the scrolls what the prophet said." And he said, "This agrees with what the prophet says, that I will return in the latter time, saith God. I will return in the last days, and I will build up the fallen down house of David." Now, what was he talking about? The fallen down house of David, someone that would be carnally minded, would say, "Brethren, when you build up the fallen down house of David," he means that when the millennium comes, he's going to go into the millennium and he's going to build back the temple of God. He's going to build back the temple of Solomon. Will that happen? It sure will happen. Well, is that what God was talking about? It sure is what God was talking about. But see, there's something outside of that. There's something that's beyond that. There's something greater than that. And that is, God is building up a habitation, a building, a temple. Ye are the temples of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, "The man that defileth that temple, him shall God destroy." So then ye are the lively stones, built up into a holy priesthood, a habitation for God. He said, "Ye are God's building." So then ye are the stones that make up God's building. And God is in the midst of you. God inhabits the praise of his people. God being in the midst of you. This great, wonderful temple of lively stones. We spoke of it the other night. The Tower of Babel could not succeed because it was that of Satan. But then came Pentecost. You say, "Brother Pike, do you believe this had to do with Pentecost?" On the day of Pentecost, you remember the 120? Look at the priest here at the trumpets that's sounding. All of them sounded as one trumpet. 120 of them sounded as one trumpet. What is it? It's that great building up of the house of David. It's Pentecost. It's the day of the great jubilee, and they're all coming together. And 120 trumpets sounds at one time. Voices lifted up because the ark of the covenant is moving in. And the Bible said when these trumpets sound that all of a sudden the house was filled with a cloud. It was when the 120 gathered. It was when the moving of the Spirit came that the great cloud of God, that great Holy Spirit, he moved into the temple. He moved into your heart. He moved into my heart. That is to say, to the extent that we look back today at the experience that God gave, and we find ourselves filled with the Holy Ghost. So when the trumpet sounded, this great cloud came into the temple. God brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple. Here Solomon builds the temple and he says it's finished. And when he says it's finished, all of a sudden, here comes the Ark of the Covenant into it. Remember when Jesus hung at Calvary, all of a sudden as Christ cried, "It is finished," The thundering, the lightning, the rocks was rent in twain. And the sun became as dark as sackcloth of hair. All of a sudden, God began to do something. Something began to take place. What was it? It was the rending of the veil. It was the opening of the door. It was the rolling back of the heavens to make the expose of the Ark of His Covenant. For the Ark of His Covenant was now moving into a building. Never before had there been a house found for God's Ark of the Covenant. Never before had God dwelt in a building. God said, "I'm God. I'm from everlasting to everlasting. The heavens of heavens cannot contain me, and the earth cannot contain me. For the heavens is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Who shall build a house for me, saith the Lord?" But yet the Bible says, concerning the revelation of John, it said, "And the tabernacle of God was in the earth." And the voice said, "And behold, the tabernacle, the temple of God is in the earth. And God will dwell among his people." So then this great building was built. Jesus said, "It's finished." Solomon said, "It's finished." And with that came the great moving of the Spirit. With that came the great wonderfulness of God. When Jesus said it is finished, all of a sudden there was a change. And God took away the iniquity. God took away the unlikeness of Christ, of Jesus. He took away that was the veil of your sins and my sins, the unbecoming part. And God moved into Jesus. In the fullness of His glory, He moved in the fullness of His power. When the middle wall of partition was taken away, God looked into my heart, and God looked into your heart, and God looked into everybody's heart from the time of Calvary, from the foundation of the world. God looked into Abraham's heart, into Daniel's heart, and the time was made. The perfection had come. The building was finished. And Peter rose up and began to preach a great sermon, and 3,000 people was added to that building. 3,000 people was baptized in the name of the Son of God for the remission of sin, and the ark of God's covenant came into the temple, and people was filled with the Holy Ghost. What is the ark of God's covenant? The mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. The great, wonderful Holy Ghost, the Christ Himself, came into the building, and the Bible said it appeared as a tongue of fire, and it came as a mighty rushing wind. Why did that happened like that? Because it was the finishing of the building. At last, Jesus said, "It is finished. Father, I went away. I prepared a place, and now I've come to receive them unto my own. So then, if I go, I will prepare a place, and then I will return to receive you unto my own, that where I am, there you may be also." So He went away, and He prepared a place. And that place was the kingdom of God within my heart. And that house of many mansions became the members of the church. And so then Christ went into the heart. He sat at the supper and He said, "I will not drink this wine with you anew until I drink it with you in the kingdom of God." So then when Pentecost came, they accused Him of being drunk on new wine. Why was it? Because Jesus had went away. He ascended. He went into heaven. And then within 10 days, here come the Christ back. He went away to prepare a place. When He prepared the place, He come back into my heart. And He's been in my heart ever since, receiving me unto Himself. He is receiving my body unto Himself, that where He is, that there I might be also. He is taking my innermost spirit and drawing my spirit with cords of love right into that very wonderful place where He's at. That's why the Bible said we are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring of the restitution of all things. What was it? God had finished the building. God had finished the building, and God was now capstoning the building. You know, we spoke of the prism and the pyramid. Take that, let the sun come down, and then when it is refracted light, then you look and you got a rainbow. You take Jesus, the capstone of that building, all the way from the days of Adam, all the way down. God was building that building. It was built. It took thousands of years to building in types and shadows to bring it to where it was finished. And then when it came to Calvary, all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus Christ, the capstone was found. All of a sudden it came. Remember, everyone tried to build the building. All of them tried to put it together. And then came the time when they couldn't get the stone to fit. The last stone. They couldn't get any other stones to fit. Abraham tried it. Every man from Abraham's time tried it. Moses tried it. Everyone tried it. And they tried to fit the capstone. They built the building. Even Solomon. When Solomon got to his day, he found out that something happened, and they went down into Babylon and something was lacking. Though it's finished here in the typical form is to give us the days of Solomon, yet there was something lacking when it come to the real capstone of the building. But when the Lord Jesus came, the prophecy was fulfilled that said, "And the cornerstone shall come, crying, grace, grace, grace." And so then when Jesus came, the building was finished. And Jesus lifted up His hands and He said, "It is finished. It is finished. I finished it." And it showed here that the great light of God that came down out of heaven struck that prism or struck that capstone, and it refracted into the light of the rainbow to bring about the church ages of the seven church age messengers of those seven candlesticks before the throne of God. And from that great prism of that great capstone of the one that said it's finished, from there the great church ages came into that rainbow of the covering cherubs, of those wings that Solomon speaks of. Here these ages are covered with the covering cherub,
and the seven church ages comes in, and the messengers of God comes in, and then the Word of God comes in, and this refracted light into its proportional parts, each one, as we say, as the candlesticks, having their part, each one of them having their part to bring to us the wonderful revelation of the Son of God. So then there's 120 priests, and they lift up the trumpets and they sound. What is it? It's Pentecost. This is finished. What is it? It's the building. Jesus said it is now finished. And the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit came. Because when Jesus said it is finished, He went down into the heart of the earth to show the pilgrimage of that which had been in the days of Joseph and that which had been in the days of Moses, the pilgrimage of that through the wilderness. And then the Lord Jesus Christ went away. And He went to heaven and He sat down as the capstone. Paul caught up into the third heaven, showed it to those that were in the earth as Christ back in the human body. And so then Christ capstoned the great pyramid. And it was finished. God let them finish the great building. And from that time, the Holy Spirit of the Ark of the Covenant, which is God's Word, God's way of life, God's mind, it moved into the temple. And today, the tabernacle of God is in the earth, as John saw it. And here we are as the lively stones. Here we are built up into a holy priesthood. Here we are, the tabernacle of God in the earth, the many members. Here we are as the many mansions that Jesus said He would prepare. And here we are, God in our heart, Him receiving us unto Himself. So then we see the great, wonderful work of God. And we see this great patience of God all down through the centuries as God tries to build this building to give us the typical thing to where we can understand spiritual things. This is the charge against man today. This was the thing that Jesus magnified. As He preached, the people didn't want to listen to Him. As He tried to tell them, they didn't want to hear. And Jesus said, I warn you that in the day of judgment there's going to be a charge against you. And He said, the charge against you is this, that light has come into the world and you love darkness rather than you do light because your deeds are evil. He said, and this is the charge that God will bring against you in the day of judgment, that God has brought the revelation of the Son of God. He's brought the enlightenment of the things of God. All of these things being given to us in Christ before the world ever was and brought to light at Calvary. He said, I'm the light of the world, and this is the charge that is against you. I've come, I've unveiled myself as the Ark of God's covenant, and I've given you light, and I told you what was right, and I told you God's will, and I've tried to point out the holy, godly things to you. But you love your own thinking. You love your own way. You love the intellectual darkness of your own human birth. You're leaning to your own understanding. You love to eat and drink. You love to think the thoughts of passions and of the eating and drinking and frolics of this world. So you love those kind of things. He said, that's darkness. That's intellectual darkness. That is the lust of the flesh. That's the gullible desire of Satan who savors the things that be of the flesh. He said, and this is the charge that I place against you in the day of judgment. That light has come into the world, but you'd rather be carnally minded. And to be carnally minded is death. He said, you'd rather be carnally minded. So then, he said, this is the charge, that you are carnal minded, and the carnal mind is enmity with God. Light has come into the world, but you love darkness rather than light. And he said, it's because your deeds are evil. It's because your desires are abased. It's because you desire the things of this world. It's because you want position and you want prestige and you want money and you seek the favor of men. And the Bible said, how can you have the honor of God when you seek honor one of another? How can you have the blessings of the Spirit and the confidence of the Spirit when you don't want to sacrifice the old contrary flesh? Knowing that there is a contrary thing, knowing that there is a continual warfare between the body and the spirit, and God commanded you to abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the soul, you know this, but you still go after it because you love the darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil. So then this is the charge, Jesus said, that I place against you, that in the day of the judgment, it is said that you love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil. He said, until I come, your sins were not made known. Before I came into the world, he said, your sins was not made known. Nothing had ever come that ever made your sins known to you. And God gave you mercy. He said, but now your sins are made known. Now your sins have come to your mind. Now then you know. Notice in this temple, this great cloud came in. The cloud came into the temple, and when the cloud came into the temple, it indicated that God had filled this great temple with his train, that the smoke of his train filled the great temple. What was this great smoke? What was this great cloud? Remember, as Israel moved, there was a cloud by day, and there was a fire by night. And this was the great cloud that came by day. Because in the days of David, it didn't come as a great cloud by day. It came as a fire by night. That is the blood. The blood. Jesus had the blood dipped the vesture. It was the blood. It was the fire that was over the tabernacle of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was that fire. It was that blood. It was the power of judgment, the consummation. David dipping his sword in the people's blood. Because it was the pillar of fire that was over the tabernacle. And David waded into the enemy and David spilt their blood, showing the life that's in the blood. And the great fire over the tabernacle indicated that covering power. Going back to those covering cherubs of the fire by night and the cloud by day. So then, when Solomon came, it changed from David. It became a peaceable age. And in the peaceable age, there came a cloud by day. There came the daylight. There came this great cloud. It filled the temple of Solomon. The great cloud was there. This great cloud that filled all of the temple. And the joy of the Lord was there. And the strength of God was there. And at last, God had found a dwelling place for himself. At last he had found the temple. At last he had found a place to dwell. Today, God is happy because he said, "This is my beloved son," speaking of the church, the membership of my body, the bone of my own bone and the flesh of my own flesh. "This is my tabernacle. I baptize this with my spirit and I wash it with the water of regeneration. And I take it from the generation of Adam and I put it in the generation of Jesus Christ, which is the beginning of the creation of God. And I am pleased to dwell in this temple. This is my beloved son in whom I am pleased to dwell. And today God dwells in me because I am his beloved son. God is pleased to dwell in me because I am his beloved son. He finds no fault with me because I am justified by the righteousness of his own righteousness. No one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect because it is God that has justified them by the spilt blood or the given blood of the Son of God. So then, though you don't have any interest, though you don't care, though you go after the world, though you do the things that's ungodly, yet in the day of judgment I place a charge against you, and that is the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, and they're hungering and thirsting after the world, having the love of the world, and then the love of the Father is not there. But to the elect and to the righteous, to them that are sons and daughters of God, to them that will rule with a rod of iron, to them that is to whom it is given as to great treasures and riches and power and wisdom and majesty as to being one with God and inheriting the things of God. I say to you that this is a great hour. The same thing applies as to the meeting that we had as we went over into Jeffersonville, Indiana. It had to do with Brother Branham. It had to do with the war. It had to do with the denominations fighting against him. It had to do with the house of David. It had to do with that thing of war. Whereas so much blood was spilt, always war, always problems, always things that kept him from building the house of God, kept him from building the temple of God. Though he wanted to do it, he couldn't do it. They warred against him and they draw the people away. And a lot of the movie evangelists and a lot of the evangelists that showed themselves as under the tents and these that had their careers in life and cared nothing about the people. They're dancing, they're hollering, they're going on. All of this diverted the attention and took the attention away from the man of God. Though he came to build the house of God, yet he could not do it because of the war, because of the problems. The denominational powers in the world, they caused him problems. But see, he saw that pillar of fire. And that pillar of fire that he saw was always around the tabernacle. Him representing God in the earth, being the tabernacle of God in the earth, that pillar of fire was there. Because it was by night. It was the wrath of God. It was the judgment of God. Brother Branham said on numerous occasions, he said, "You talk about God being a good God." Brother Roberts would cry out, "God is a good God," which is true. There's none good but God. So then, when he would cry out, God, Brother Branham would cry back and say, "God's not just a good God. God's also a God of judgment," he would say. The Bible said God serves, he saves his people by judgment. And Brother Branham would cry out, "God's a God of judgment." And so it was that judgment did strike Brother Roberts in a strong way. Sin has struck the other evangelists in a strong way because God saves his people by judgment. Though God is a good God, and there's none good but God, and that should be our concept of God, so that God would be favorable to us. Yet God is a God of judgment to them that will not allow God to be good to them. And people who have the gullible desire of the love of the world and the things of the world, they will not let God be good to them. Though all of these men, like Brother Roberts and Brother Branham and the other men, are great men doing great things, yet we've got to remember that God has a plan. God has a program. God is doing great things. And in this hour, there is a change. And that's what it had to do with when we went into Jeffersonville, Indiana, over to this meeting of Brother Woods. There was a change. The man of God lays in the grave. The man of God, where the pillar of fire was, he lays in the grave. The pillar of fire didn't go into the grave. The pillar of fire isn't in the grave. But there, the man that saw the pillar of fire, the man that had the great, wonderful experience of his face glowing as it was with Moses. As the Bible said, that Moses' face shone and he had to put a veil over it. And as it was with Brother Branham, God saying, I will be with you as I was with Moses. And so then these things took place. All of these things took place. To you I'm speaking. To you that are carnal, I'm resisting you. You can feel me resisting you. Because God said, you resist me and I'll resist you. And the man of God is God's minister to execute wrath upon them that do evil. And the carnal mind is enmity with God. And he's there to bring the judgments of God upon those carnal minds of interference. So then to you that love God, and to you that are spiritual, and to you that want to be away from that thing of the carnal mind, I say to you, and you alone, though few there is that find it, Jesus said, I say to you that this is the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. And so then Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They will follow me, and wherever I go, my sheep will go too. And he said, wherever I am, there my sheep shall also be. So then, when we see this great thing taking place and we realize this great wonderfulness of God is in our midst, we know that the revelation of the Lord is here. And the Bible said when the revelation come, that was the end of the world. Wherever you find the revelation, that's the end of the world. Because the world is a figment of imagination. The world is a system. And wherever the revelator comes or the revelation comes, then all of the veil is consumed as the snow that melts when the sunshine comes. And so then, going to Indiana, we went to Indiana there for that which is old to be folded up and to be laid away. And if you were not carnal tonight, we'd go into it and tell you what happened. But we're not going to try to because I feel even more carnality tonight than I did this morning. But anyway, we went there for this purpose. You know, resentment will bring you nothing but failure. Resentment and finding fault with the man of God in your thoughts. And I can feel it and I can hear it. See, and it won't do anything but rob you. And the Bible says your iniquities have kept you back from great things in God that God would have given you. So then, going to Indiana, it was to fold up and to lay away that which was old. That there might be a change. That we might come into this great wonderfulness of the great pillar of cloud. Even the vision that we saw when I looked into heaven and the heavens were so bright and I saw this great pillar of fire and I saw it change and the fire left it and I saw the cloud come down upon the tabernacle. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle. And there we saw the great pillar of cloud come from the high, high heavens of the great illumination, the brightness of God. It came down upon the tabernacle. And the Bible says that when the cloud appeared over the tabernacle, that God was in his tabernacle. When the cloud comes down over the tabernacle, it means that God is in his tabernacle. And oh, how I feel the resentment, but it doesn't change a thing. Glory to God for them that don't resent. Glory to God for the few that's following and for the few that's trying to go on with God and away with the rest of them. David said, let their table become a snare to them. Let them be always turned backwards. Let them fall. David said, God, your face is against them to make an end of them and to destroy them that do that. But to them that follow me, to them I will give eternal life. To them that follow me, to them that go with me, to them that doesn't try to make it hard on me and make it hard on the things of God. A lot of times I'm preaching and it's so bad because of some of you are so evil and some of you are so contrary and some of you are so carnal-minded till it makes me stumble and stagger many times in trying to express these wonderful glories of God, but it doesn't stop me. Paul said, I'd have come unto you, but Satan hindered me. But it doesn't stop me from preaching the gospel. It doesn't stop me from unveiling the great mysteries of God. And it doesn't stop me from going on and doing the wonderful things that God has commissioned me to do. So then Solomon said, the temple is finished. And there came the glory of God. Jesus said, Father, it is finished. And then came the wonderful priesthood of Aaron. And then came the great cloud. Fire on the mountain with Moses, burning the pillar of fire over the tabernacle. But now the crossing of the Jordan, and this time it's Joshua, a cloud by day. God bringing Joshua to a place to make the sun stand still, so that the light will continue, doing away with that night as to the moon, as to the pillar of fire by night, as to the reflector, doing away with the age of Moses, doing away with those that he had to destroy because of the breaking of the first covenant, the spilling of the blood, doing away with the era that brings in the spilling of the blood as in the days of Moses, as in the days of Jesus, and bringing that great cloud by day as Joshua steps over the Jordan, bringing that, doing away with the fire on the mountain that burned where people were so afraid that they wouldn't even get near it. And God brought the great wonderfulness of the pillar of cloud by day. So then God has a pillar of cloud by day, has a new foundation. And he's bringing us out of the night, the moon that represents that blood. Have you ever seen the moon when it was red like blood that represents the fire? And then comes that great wonderful day star as to dawning in your heart, and you look and there's the light, the great wonderful light of God. And so then Jesus lifted his hands to God and said, it is finished, Father. And then when it was finished, all of a sudden the refracted light that came through the prism of that capstone began to reach out down across the ages and down through what we call the church ages as to Paul's teachings of the revelator of the church. All the churches that Paul established, we have heard this wonderful revelation of the Son of God. Paul saying that when I write to you, this is that you might understand my knowledge in the mysteries of Jesus Christ. And so then down through the church ages, these things come. Now, I know that you're not getting this. I realize that. But I'm preaching to the people that will get it. There's people that will get it. Hundreds of them will hear it. You're just making me stagger and stumble because of your carnality. But see, the others will get it. I know that. And so then I've got to clear it and I've got to bring it out. See, to preach to carnal-minded people, they'll never understand spiritual things. Like Brother Branham, God said to Brother Branham, you can't give Pentecostal babies spiritual things. You can't do it. They can't eat them. They can't digest them. And it's sad to say that some of you spend so much time with the natural that you can't understand spiritual things. You can't get them. You can't relax in God. You can't be spiritual. It's just a matter of intellectual knowledge and you hear it and that's all there is to it. And you're ready to leave and was ready to leave before we ever got started. But nevertheless, these things go out to people that do hear and some people that write back and say, my God, Brother Pike, this is a new world to me since I've heard these things. And they say, this is a new way of life and I've got to have these things. And I want to enter into that realm. And these are people that belong to the third heaven. And these are people that belong to the other realm. Not those that are in the world of sound, as I said this morning. Not those that are just hearing the word of God. That's in the realm of sound, but these are they that are in the spiritual world. That's in that great, wonderful world of God, that world that's beyond. And they are concentrated toward God and consecrated to God. And they have their carnal minds out of the way, and they don't set in reason, and they don't set in resent, and they don't set in find fault, and they don't stand in the way of the sinners, and they don't sit in the seat of the scornful. These are they that meditate in the laws of God day and night. And cast down imagination in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And these are they that bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus. These are they that enter into God's courts with thanksgiving, his gates with praise. And these are they that sit and listen to the word of God and receive the wonderful knowledge of God down deep into their hearts and down deep into the spirits to where they can say that we are a son of God and to where they can rule with a rod of iron in the coming age. So then, I know saying this, all of a sudden I feel an entire change in the audience. I feel you settle down and I feel your minds back off, but you've already wrecked the sermon and ruined the sermon as far as your part. And yet God didn't suffer it to be wrecked and ruined because He took it right on through, even with the humps and the bumps. So you're still in trouble with God. There's no need to settle down now. Makes no difference. We're going to ride the rough roads and ride the bumps and go right on through, and you're still in trouble because you did it and you should have not done it to start with. I told you over and over, and you've done it so many times. So you're in trouble whether you back off or whether you don't back off. But anyway, the temple of God, all of a sudden the temple of God was finished. Solomon's temple was finished. Jesus said at Calvary, it is finished. And then the mighty God of heaven and of earth came into His temple. Like a mighty rushing wind, He came in. There as the tongues of fire was there to show the great altar and to let us know that the sacrifice to God was clean and holy. There the great pillar of fire came upon each of them like a tongue of fire. It came over the tabernacle and it set upon each of them. That great pillar of fire as a tongue of fire came and set over each of them. And then they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And as this great fire came over, the great Spirit of God, even the Holy Ghost, filled them. The Bible said, and all of the house was filled with the train of God. All of the people that was seeking God was suddenly filled with this great cloud, filled with this great Holy Ghost. Why? Because as it is written, I will return in the last days, saith God, and I will build up the fallen down house of David. That is to say, I'm here now, God would say, to build up the fallen down house of David. I've come to build this back up so that the Ark of the Covenant could come into it. And this time, not a natural ark into a natural building as to a natural meaning, but this is the great ark of God. This is the great Spirit. This is the covering of His glory. This is the wonderful God and the wonderful power of God and the wonderful life of God that Jesus said one day would come. This is God's life, the great pillar of cloud that's going into the temple, into your heart, and into my heart, and into the hearts of all of those that love Jesus. And so then the cloud filled the temple. The cloud is in the temple today, and the temple is finished today. And now we're on the other side of the Jordan. Now it's the Christ that's within the temple. It's the same Christ that was in the tabernacle that John saw on the earth. As to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, so is the same life in the tabernacle of God today as to the memberships of God. That is to say, the arms, the legs, whatever member it is of the body, the same life is flowing through the veins. And the blood that had the life in it, God has placed with inside. Where is the pillar of fire? What has happened to the pillar of fire? Where did the pillar of fire go? God within your heart, the consuming fire. It is the blood of Jesus that is now within the veil. It is the blood of Jesus that is now within the temple. It is the blood of Jesus that has the life of God. One time could not be in the tabernacle, but as it was, as to the image of God in the days of Adams, it was the overshadowing. But today that blood is on the inside, and the life is in the blood, and His blood is on the inside, and the life of God is on the inside, and now my blood is royal blood. And today my blood is not the blood of Adam. My blood is the blood of the second man, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of God from heaven. My blood today is royal blood, and that life on the inside of me is not the spirit of Brother Pipe, but it is the spirit of Almighty God, and it's not me living, but it's God living within me. My spirit, my life, my body, my blood, all that I stand for is the firstborn, and the bastard image was spitten at Calvary and taken away. And today it's God's bones and God's flesh and God's blood and God's spirit and God's mind. It's God in everything I do today. Perfect in His sight, never a spot, never a blemish. Always doing the things that please my Heavenly Father. Always doing it. Therefore, God never finding any fault. God never finding a spot. God never finding a blemish. God doing all of these great things because He loves me. God driving, God pushing, God magnifying, God lifting up. It is God doing all these things. And I stand as God to the people, as bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Not me speaking, but God speaking from within me. Not me as an individual judging, but God judging His people. So then he's made us God in the earth. He made Moses God to the people. We stand as God. We stand in God's stead, beseeching the world to be reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Telling the world about Jesus and this charge we place against you. And that is because light has come into the world, you have not heard. Because light has come into the world, this wicked, sinful, adulterous generation of the youth of today has refused it and won't have it. But this charge I place against the generation of today, even the youth of today. I charge you with the blood of Jesus Christ, and I charge you with this, that light has come into this day and light has come into your life. And because your deeds are evil, you are a wretched generation, Jesus said. This young generation is a wretched generation. The sons and daughters talk to mother and daddy worse than I would speak to my dog. I've always spoke to my dog better than they speak to the parents. And the Bible says they rise up against the parents and they have the parents put to death. And they don't honor the parents and they shorten their days by their disobedience, the Bible teaches. They're shortening their days by their contrary spirit. But I thank God that I'm filled with His Spirit. And I thank God that I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And I thank God that I'm full of the wisdom of Christ. And I thank God that I have eternal life. And I can shout and lift up my voice like a trumpet to tell the people of their sins. Because God commanded me to do so. Jesus said, "It is finished." You say, "Don't get so excited." I'll get excited because I love to get excited. And I get excited so that everybody that hears my voice can know that I'm excited. I'm not interested in you, whether you think I'm excited or should be excited. That's immaterial with me. I'm talking to them that wants to get excited with me. It's like people playing football. They could care less about the rest of them. They don't want to play football. They're excited. This is their game. Folks, this is what we're doing. This is our part in God. I'm excited about it. I'm filled with God's exhilaration. I'm filled with God's enthusiasm. That's why I scream out the words of God. Not here, but wherever I go around the nation and around the world, I've done it. For numbers of years, I've done it. And by His help, I'll continue to do it. So then, God is in our midst. God is with us. God is here. Great and mighty is the hour that we're living in. And the mighty Holy Ghost is in His temple. Let all of the world keep silent because God is in His temple. Let everybody keep silent while God speaks. So then, what is this? And the temple was finished. And the great, wonderful Spirit of God filled the temple. And the 120 sounded their voices. And they spake in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Priest, high priest, for God said, "I've made you priest and I've made you kings." You are intercessors. Pray, He said, intercede. Make intercession for them that are without, that God might grant repentance unto them that are without. So then today we're here interceding. And you as a Christian, you have a command of God to intercede. And all around the world the voice goes. For the Bible said, our words have gone to the ends of the earth. But who hath believed the report? So then all of our words going out, whether it goes out in the printed page, whether it goes out by radio, whether it goes out by television, whether it's under the tent, whether it's on the street corners, wherever it might be, God is sending forth His Word. And God is pouring out of His Spirit upon all flesh, as Joel said, that all flesh may see the glory of God. And all flesh shall see the glory of God. And all of the world shall come and kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. God will make them to do that. Because God magnifies, God lifts up, God gives double honor to them that labor in the gospel. To them that can hear, to them that have an ear, to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. To them that can see, that have eyes to see, always what the Father does. To them that understand, for the Bible said the wicked shall not understand. To all of them that can understand, I say to you, this is a great hour. This is a great moment. Don't let the spots and blemishes move you. Don't let the discouraging testimonies of them that have sinned against God move you. You stand steadfast in your life, in your health, in your strength, in your faith, in everything that God has given unto you. You believe with all of your heart in the wonderful powers and deliverances of God. Don't let a discouraging mind come to you. Don't let anybody talk contrary to the Word of God. Don't pay any attention to anybody that tells you anything. Stand firm on the Word of God. The Word of God is settled in heaven. It cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. You stand upon the Word of God. And you say to anybody that comes contrary to that, say, brother or sister, I love Jesus. I'm going to make it. God is with me. God will supply all of my needs. God makes me to ride upon the high places of the earth. God feeds me with the heritage of Jacob. God heals all of my diseases. God makes all of my beds in the time of my sickness. It is God that makes me to prosper in whatsoever I do. And my leaves shall not wither, and I'll bring forth my fruit in my season. God has made me a God in this world. God has made me a God in this world. You know what a God is? I say this so often, I want to say it again tonight. You say, what is a God, Brother Pike? A God is something that can't die. That's what a God is. When you find something that can't die, it's a God. That's a God. Anything that can last on and on and on and on, that's God. That is a God. So then we cannot die. We pass from death unto life, and we shall never come into condemnation. We have passed from death unto life. We cannot die. I cannot die. All that are gods cannot die. So then we who are gods cannot die. We live forever. That means we are gods. We cannot die. We are gods. We're not human beings. We're not people. We are gods, and we live on, and we'll live on. As the song said, I'll live on and on. As the ages roll, I'll live on. So then I'm going to live on. I'm eternal. Can't die. Somebody said, you better watch out. Now you do that, Brother Pike, and you lose your eternal life. Now ain't that a flimsy sort of eternal life? Ain't that a flimsy sort of a religion or a salvation, as you call it? You know, you better watch out now. God gave it to you, Brother Pike, but you better watch out. The first news you know, he'll just change his mind. You know, I feel sorry for folks like that. That's a sad, sad sort of frame of mind. That's a sad condition for people to get into. God gave me this before the world ever was. He gave it to me before I was ever born into the world. Why then would God want to take it away from me? He gave it to me in Christ before the world ever was. All of his works are known unto him from the beginning. He saw all of my mannerism. He saw all of my stumblings. He saw everything that I would ever do from everlasting to everlasting. And he still says, here is eternal life, Brother Pike. So then it's a sure seal. Having eternal life, even God can't take this away from me. Oh my God, somebody says. I said, even God can't take this away from me. I said, even God can't take this away from you. You say, how is that, Brother Pike? Because to Abraham, he swear by himself. The Bible said because he could swear by no greater, God swore by himself. That blessing, he would bless us, and multiplying, he would multiply us. Ordained it in the hands of a mediator, even Jesus Christ, and in the hands of angels. God did it as the angels to witness the mediator. Or that great, wonderful thing of God's covenant with us. So then God, who cannot lie, in that it is impossible for God to lie, even God can't change it. God wanted me to be so sure till he fixed it to where I would know that even he couldn't change it. You love the Lord? So tonight I thank God for this wonderful eternal life. I thank God for these wonderful things that God patiently took time to do that took him thousands of years. God considerate of me. I thank God for those wonderful times and those wonderful things. And it's sad that we'd have anybody anywhere in the world, and especially Bethlehem, that would be carnally minded, that would give me the trouble that they do and cause me the problems that they do and trouble themselves. Well, they that trouble me, God said, I'll trouble them. But thank God for the few. There's very few. When I started looking out through the audience, when I started searching, when I tried to find the different ones, there's very few that I can locate in the entire audience. But believe it or not, there is a few that's out there. So then stand with me. A lot of things that I'd like to say tonight, a lot of things I'd like to say every time I come up here. But such carnal atmosphere of those within their human reasoning. Jesus said through Paul, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. But seeing that you're babes in Christ, he said, I can't do it. How did he know there were babes in Christ? He said, there's envy. There's envy. There's envy. He said, there's envy among you. There's envy. There's envy. There's strife. There's malice, there's backbiting, there's fault finding, there's resentment, there's human reasoning. He said, are you not yet carnal? Are you not yet carnal? And he said, don't you think as men, as natural men, when you're like that? You didn't enter into my gates with thanksgiving and into my courts with praise. You did not listen to me when I said, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. When I told you not to find fault, you didn't listen to me. You didn't do what I said. Therefore, you could not be my sheep. For my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. You could not possibly be my sheep, or you would have done the things that I said. For my sheep do always the things that please me. Let's sing a little chorus together. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and my morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and your morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and my morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and your morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to tell. Jesus is good. Jesus is the lily of my valley. He's the bright and morning star. Jesus, he's all I need. All to him I owe. Jesus. I think about Jesus in the morning. I think about Jesus at night. I think about Jesus every time I awake from my bed. I think about Jesus. Because everything centers around Jesus. Oh, someone would say, Brother Pike, you make too much fuss about Jesus. There's a lot of other things to think about. There's a lot of other things to do. There's a lot of other things to say. But folks, there ain't nothing but Jesus. Jesus. Did you know that God is the gold, and God is the silver, and God is the diamond, and God is the pearls, and God is the food, and God is the air, and God is your flesh, and God is your bones? Did you know that God, who is the invisible one, from him came all of these things. And he made himself to be
in every form of life. And he made himself to be the answer to your appetites and problems in every form of life. It is Jesus. It is God. All things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that is made. He is the one that created the heaven and earth. God is the all in all. So it's good to love Jesus. Let's sing another chorus. Can you? Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by, and you'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Oh, he's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Can you sing it again? Just reach out and touch my Lord as he goes by. For you'll find God's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Oh, he's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. To be like Jesus, want to be like Jesus. On this earth I long just to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like him. From Bethlehem's manger came forth the stranger. On earth alone, to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like him. Sing it again now. To be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like him. You love Jesus? Give me another key, Frank. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Oh, yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh, it's changing me. changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Oh, yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Give me another key, Frank. Let's sing this little chorus. Oh, let Thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let Thy will be done. Create in us that mind of Christ, the Father and the Son. For it's in Thy shining glory that we see Thy Holy One. Our hope is to be like Him. So let Thy will be done. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at Your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me now. For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it again now. For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Oh, I need Thee, Lord. I need Thee. Sing with me now. Every hour I need Thee. I need Thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I
So don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. So listen to my Savior, just hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. So listen to Jesus. He's come back to your heart again. You know, we stray away from him and we get away. We do our own things in life, and then he comes back. Once again, he comes back. He sees our repentance. He sees our hearts humble before him. And then he comes back again, and he gently knocks again. And he says again, will you let me in? If you'll open the door, I'll be your friend. I'll come in and sup with you. And then we turn him away. But one day he won't knock anymore. And the Bible said, the voice of the bridegroom shall not be heard any more in thee. No, not any more in thee will it be heard. And said, all of the dainty things that you have sought after and all of the good things that you wanted are gone from you now. All of the good things in life, and it enumerates, it names, it itemizes. All of the good things, they're gone now. All of the things that you wanted, all of the things that the Gentiles searched after, all of the things of the world, said, they're all gone now. These are the things you wanted. And all the dainty things and the good things, they're all gone now. The beautiful clothing are gone. The homes are gone. The automobiles are gone. All of the beautiful things are gone. And they'll gnaw their tongue for pain. And they'll curse the God of heaven. But folks, he's still knocking. Knocking. The days of the Gentiles are at an end. I'm telling you the truth. I so long to bring present day revelation to you. I so long to talk with you, to tell you about the present day things that are happening right now. I love to know what's happening right now. I just love to know. And Jesus tells me, will I hide anything from Abraham, seeing that he is my friend? Shall not I tell him what I'm going to do? Shall not I tell him? Shall then I hide anything from him? No. No one hide it from Abraham because he's my friend. I said this before, if Abraham was God's friend and didn't even have the Holy Ghost, folks, what kind of thing are you? If God would show that to Abraham just because Abraham was his friend, the Bible says that you're a bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Would God therefore withhold any good thing from you? You're God's own body. My glory I will not give to another, but you're not another. And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former house. Ed, this is the latter house glory. Glory to God, this light shines, folks. This light shines clear around the world. The former house glory, it just shined over in Israel somewhere. Can you say amen? But brother, this light is the light of the world. This is the light of that latter house. Somebody says, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, when God gave a message to Moses and his face shined, that was the former light. But when that latter house, Jesus Christ, came down, he said, I'm the fullness of the light. I'm the light of the world. He said, this is that last house. This is that latter house. You're bone of this bone and flesh of this flesh. This is the light of the world. And Paul said in the Scriptures, fulfilling, God has set me to be a light
to the ends of the earth. And your faith is spoken of throughout the world. I like that, don't you? Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. That's the glory that is changing me from glory to glory. I tell you what, I'm a happy Christian, folks. There is no such thing as a person that is a Christian that's not happy. That's what Christianity is serving God, joy and peace, righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That's why the youth don't follow. See, the youth don't see that joy. A lot of them flock after this jumping and hollering and running because they see that at a football game and it excites them and they feel like that's it. And there is some jumping and hollering and praising the Lord. All of the running and clapping of the hands and rejoicing, that's not of the devil. There's some that's real, but so much of it is of the devil. So much of it. But there is some that's real. It's the children playing. But what about you parents that's supposed to lay up for the children so that when the day gets dark and the children come in from their playgrounds and they want to come into this great temple that Solomon built and they want to get in there where the light is. Won't be any light in the world anymore. Seeing the light will be gone and the sun will become dark as sackcloth of hair. And the moon shall turn to blood and the stars shall not give their light. When the stars get covered over by the cloud and the moon gets covered over by the cloud and the night gets dark, the children don't want to stay out anymore. They want to come into the house. They're looking for the light. Are you the light of the world? Have you got the light? Can you say to men that you love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil? The children won't love darkness rather than light. They'll come out from among those creatures of light. The light is out there right now because it is the blood on the seat of atonement. And Jesus' grace and mercy is on all flesh right now. He's poured it out, but after a while, that'll be lifted and the blood will come off the seat of atonement. Won't be any light out there. And the Bible said, in darkness shall fill the beast's kingdom. All them are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. And darkness, intellectual reasoning, trying to figure out his own way. The tree of knowledge, it will fill his kingdom. And it'll be football, darkness. And it'll be thinking of baseball, darkness. And it'll be reveling. It'll be sporting. It'll be covetousness. It'll be the lust of the flesh. TV programs, darkness, and gross darkness shall cover the people. And the children will get afraid. And they'll begin to run. And they'll begin to look for the house. They'll begin to look for the light. So then, have we laid up for them as parents? Have we got everything? Is there meat in God's house? Are we ready for them to come when the whole world turns? See, when the children come out of Egypt, remember, all the world run after them. All of Egypt run after them. Oh, we could just go on and go on and go on talking about this wonderful way, talking about the Lord. I want you to lift your hands up with me, if you will. From time to time when I preach to you, I don't scold you, folks. But I'm telling you, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Many times when you come to the house of God and hinder the moving of the Spirit, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful. I feel that Spirit coming in of the little one. Brother Pike's not against you. I know condemnation's there. I know that you're ashamed. I know that you can't stand it. It's eating you up. It's tearing you to pieces because you know that I know. But I'm not against you. I want to help you. I want to strengthen you. But that is the right thing. And I want to forgive your sins. But that is to say that you go your way and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. I want to help lead you. We're here. Jesus didn't just say, feed my sheep. He said, Peter, can you leave your hunting and your fishing? And of course, Peter was fishing. He wasn't hunting. But Esau lost the birthright hunting. Can you leave your hunting and your fishing? Can you leave your television programs? Can you leave your frolics? Can you stay away from Six Flags, as somebody would say in Georgia? Can you leave off with the frolics? Can you leave off with the things of the world? Can you leave off with pimper and pampering the flesh? Lovest thou me more than these? He said, but these are not wrong, Brother Pike. I didn't say it was wrong to go fishing. I didn't say it was wrong to go hunting. I'm not upbraiding you for it. But I'm just asking you the question. Jesus said, how much do you love me? I'm giving you a love test. Lovest thou me more than this? Can't you do something for me while you're doing those things? Aren't you one that wants the hundredfold? Don't you want a full reward? Hadn't you rather that all of your day, all of your time, all of your thinking, all of your meditation, every thought, hadn't you rather it be like Jesus? Hadn't you? Oh, how beautiful. Youth, think of it, young fella. Think of it, young girl. Think of it, young girl, young fella, young man, young woman. Think of it. You've got the opportunity. While the rest of them throws their virtues away, while the rest of them loses their values of life, while the rest of them goes hard after the things of carnality to bring death and disease and trouble upon them, here you stand hearing the truth. A lot of them are in that because they don't know any better. And you're their light. And here you are having a chance for these eternal riches and eternal wealth and this eternal wisdom of God that spoke the world into existence. All that ever brings you is heartaches and troubles. You wind up in problems. But you that have the opportunity to know, don't you want to find that 100% with God? Don't you want to find that full life with God? You say, oh, Brother Pike, I'll lose so much. All you're going to lose is heartaches. All you're going to lose is troubles. All you're going to lose is problems, because everything you do that's unlike God is going to bring you death. Those carnal thoughts is death. It's a web that Satan is weaving around you. All it's going to bring is death, sorrow. You're just going to be embarrassed. Later, you're going to be so embarrassed. You're going to say, oh my God, if I'd have listened. So don't you want a full life with God? Don't you want a full reward? Don't you want that full mind of Jesus to where you can think about Jesus, talk about Jesus, love Jesus, let your whole life be full? You're not going to lose anything, folks. Except that which is death. For He's going to give you everything. If you follow me, I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. You know what riding upon the high places of the earth is? He'll give you riches and wealth. Give you the desires of your heart because you delighted yourself in Him. He'll give you automobiles. He'll give you cars. He'll give you planes. He'll give you boats. He'll give you houses. He'll give you land. He'll give you money. He'll give you vacations. He'll let you see all of His beautiful earth from here to Hawaii to Norway, all across the world. He'll make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. He'll heal all of your diseases. Whatever you do will prosper. He'll make you like a tree that brings forth its fruits in its seasons. Your leaves shall not wither. His blessings shall be with you. He shall call and He shall say, here am I. You won't lose anything. He'll beautify you with salvation. He'll make you beautiful with salvation. God will do it. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. He even makes your feet beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? God does that. How beautiful are the feet of them that brings those glad tidings of great joy. Don't you want to be healthy? You say, but I'll lose something, Brother Pike. I'll miss something. There's something I won't get. Let me tell you what you won't get. You'll lose cancer and you won't get it. You'll lose TB and you won't get it. You'll lose insanity and you won't get it. You'll lose that nervous breakdown and you won't get it. You'll lose that shame of throwing away the life and the virtues. You won't get that shame. You'll lose the problems and the heartaches and the wrecks, the sicknesses. You'll lose death. You'll lose all of that poverty. You'll lose that thing that would take the life of your little baby. You'll lose that. You'll lose that. That would hurt you and take your peace away. But oh, folks, you'll never lose anything good. Because the Bible said, I will withhold no good thing from them that walk upright before me. No good thing will I withhold from them. No good thing. I'm a witness of that. I'm His witness in the earth. I witness to that. I can tell you that that's absolutely the truth. The profound truth. Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder You are. You're brighter than the morning star. More fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. Much purer, much purer. them go. Can we sing that chorus just before we pray? Oh Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are than the morning star. You're much fairer, much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more pure, more purer than gold. Oh Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. Brighter than the morning star. You're much fairer, much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. And you're more pure than gold. You love Jesus? Lift your hands up with me again now. Not going to hold you any longer. Started to have somebody else to preach tonight. And the Lord was wanting me to minister. Because I knew what I was going to run into. I knew I was going to run into that carnal mind. I can pick it up when I first come in. And I know it's going to be a stumble and a stagger. You know, it's like driving a car. You got a nice new car and you hate to go down that little old bumpy, rough, rubboard road. But that's the way it is. Passed in a church one time. Had a nice little brick church. Passed it. Nice congregation. And I was happy. God gave me a nice Chrysler. But it's just one thing that troubled me. My piano player lived on a little bumpy, rubbed board road. And I was always the kind of person, I'd clean my car out, even the trunk. I'd take the seats out. Clean all out under the trunk. The seats. And then come Sunday morning, I had to go down that rough, rubboard, dirty little dusty road. When my Chrysler come back, it looked so bad. Oh, that just broke my heart. But one day God got a hold of my heart. I've told this to the audience before. He got a hold of my heart, and I said, my God, Lord, if that's the way it is, if that's the way a Chrysler makes you feel, if that's the way a nice car makes you feel, I'm going to get rid of it. So I did. But still, you know, it's kind of rough. I come in here, God gives a brand new revelation. And I want to tell you, you know, but I find some of you lives on that little old rubboard road. And I just pray and I say, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. I know we're going to get all shook up before this ride's over. But help me. I got to go down there and reach them somehow or another. So easy to sit down and say, hey, I don't feel like preaching tonight. You go down that rubboard road. I'll go another night. But you can't do it like that, folks. Can't do it like that. I love you tonight as a brother in Christ. I love you. I appreciate you. I want to help you. Sister Betty loves you. She wants to help you. We're laboring together as a unit to try to do what we can. Don't wait too long, folks. Don't wait too long, because the day is fast coming to a close. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, you said lift up our voice like a trumpet and show the people of their sins. Oh God, have your way. Help us. Deliver these people and save these people. For God's sake, Father, these that are carnally minded, help them to pray and to seek God, that there be no more envy, no more strife, no more backbiting, no more fault finding, no more jealousy, no more connivings. Lord, help them move this out of their life. Father, that they be not the enemy of God and the enemy to the voice of God as He speaks in His sanctuary. Oh God, that there be not a middle wall or partition to stand between the voice and the lost souls, to sit in the seat of the scornful, to think thoughts as contrary and unfruitful, that's unsanctified, thoughts of death. Oh God, help them, lest they come to great trouble and poverty. I ask that you do it, Jesus. I ask that you do it. In your name.
Jesus' name. Let's sing one or two more choruses, and I'll let you go. Sing this little chorus. They'll come from the east and the west. Sing it with me now. They'll come from the lands afar to feast with the King, to dine as His guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding His hallowed face, aglow with His light divine, all His grace as gems in His crown to shine. Can you sing it again? They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands afar to feast with the King, to dine as His guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding His hallowed face, aglow with His light divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace as gems in His crown to shine. Let's sing this chorus. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, shall be no more. Try it again then. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. One more time. Time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time. Can you sing it again? And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. One more time. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Lift your hands up with me again now. I'm going to ask Brother Gary Armstrong to come dismiss us. I appreciate Gary. He gave me that beautiful white coat the other night. Gary has really tried to hold our hands up. He and his wife have been outstanding and helping us just a few.
few days ago. He gave $3,000 to the work at one time. God's not forgetful of our labor in the Lord, folks. Someone would say, well, how did Gary do it? God gave it to him because he had a desire. I have a desire. The desire to do his will. And because he had a desire to do something for God, a desire to do his will, then God did this great thing and allowed him to help at a needy time. Think upon Jesus when he's well with you. Remember me. Pray for me. Ask God to help me to do his will.